All right, good morning. Let's go this morning. That's awful loud, isn't it? Let's go this morning to the book of Acts, chapter number 12. Acts chapter 12. Yeah, Acts chapter 12. Verse 1 here for the Sunday school class this morning. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Father, thank you for your precious word. I thank you that it is a living book. I thank you that you are a living Savior. I thank you, Lord, that you guide us so specifically, so sweetly, and yet, Lord, with fear and trembling before you, for thou art holy. And I ask God today that you'd speak to our hearts and that we would come out of here today with something from your word that you spoke specifically to us about. I pray that for all three of the services now today. We need you desperately, and we acknowledge it now in Christ's name. Amen. As we come into Acts chapter 12, we've got the king here causing havoc for the New Testament church. Now, no matter where you go, no matter who you are, no matter where you're going, you're going to have difficult times. All right? There's going to be trials as you go down the road of life, and I think that anybody that is sitting in here today, it is evident that we all deal with those things. And as we see here, Herod already had killed the Apostle John. And you know, old Herod saw that people liked that. Okay? And Herod wanted to be popular. And for political gain, he now has Peter here in Acts chapter 12 in prison. He's ready to bring him forth before these hostile Jews that are against Christ, against his gospel. Every one of us in this auditorium faces difficult circumstances and hard times. As God's word is preached this morning, open your heart and mind to his spirit and what he might say to you personally. He knows you personally. Yep. You men go out to the workplace there and you've got things going on at your job and God knows all about it. Just what's going on. You ladies that are home with the kids, God knows your heart better than your husband, okay? And he cares, yes, more than your husband, because he's God, and he loves you with an infinite love. The title here this morning is People, Circumstances, and Prayer. I want us to see three things this morning here in Acts chapter number 12. The first thing is people. The Bible says in verses 1 through 3, or in verse 3, it says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church."
Simple principle here, folks. People make trouble for other people.
Yeah, they do. For various reasons. You're not going to get away from it. This principle holds true here in Acts chapter 12 for this Herod the king, but it also holds true back in the book of Kings and in 1 and 2 Samuel. We think of David, we think of Saul, we think of all kinds of Jezebel and Ahab. Listen, and you could go right up through the years, you could go off the Bible and into the secular history books, wherever you want. People make trouble for people. Plain and simple. And it goes on and on. You know, Cain made trouble for Abel in Genesis chapter 4. Lot made trouble for Abraham. There was strife there with the cattlemen, right? Jacob made trouble for Esau. He stole his birthright. Esau made trouble for himself, too, when he sold his birthright for a bowl of beans. Joseph's brothers made trouble for Joseph there in the pit. Saul made trouble for David. David's children had trouble. Listen, trouble, 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 the whole way through the Word of God, right? Trouble, trouble, trouble today, right? If we're sitting in here today, we say, oh, there's no trouble. Where are you living, man? You're not in the real world, because we're going to have trouble. Jesus said, though, that in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Listen, this book definitely has the answers. Amen. This book does. The world out here and all its philosophy and all the things that you hear from the news media to anything else. Listen, this is the book that gives us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Amen. This book. All right? And there's answers in this book. From trouble. One day my dad, my uncle were, that's back when they were in high school, they were coming down the road. And I forget what kind of car Uncle Tom had, but it was a big old car. And they made him tough then, you know. Anyway, they had this car, and Dad reaches over in the glove compartment of the car, pulls out Uncle Tom's bag of Reese peanut butter cups. And Dad starts ripping them open real fast, because I guess that's what they did. They were kind of mean to each other. Nate and I really didn't do that too much, did we, brother? Take each other's Reese cups, huh? He reached over there, and he grabbed that. Started eating his Reese cups. And Dad will tell you today, I just ate them as fast as I could eat them. And he ripping them out, and they're coming down the old farm lane there, and my Uncle Tom trying to rush him around. JR, quit that! He said, you know, before you know it, they drove that big old car right up over a stump. There it was, all four wheels off the ground, right? Bouncing on that baby. They had to go get the tractor and pull it off, and really didn't even hurt it too much. But that's the thing. What am I saying? People make trouble for people. Plain and simple. Now that's a little, maybe a funny little story there. But that's how it is. And whether it's at work, whether it's in the church, whether it's in family, extended family, there's trouble in politics, folks. Did you know that? There's trouble for various reasons. Oftentimes for jealousy, for envy, for strife. Oftentimes there's trouble for sort of an advantage that somebody might gain. Here, in the Bible, specifically this passage, it's for popularity, for self-worth. Someone that's insecure will make trouble for someone because they want that security. You see. I know we were in a church down south there, and Jennifer and I were in there after we got married, and I was in it before we got married. There. And there was an older lady there, and she taught the children's class for years. And she really wanted, and she always said this, boy, I'd like to get some young people in here that they could take over this class. And, you know, and finally there's a young lady that had desire to take the class over, and so they did. And she observed what was going on in this class for a couple weeks with these kids. But after observing this other lady and teaching a class for a couple weeks, she felt threatened. The older lady did. She wanted to train these younger people, but she kind of felt threatened, and she felt she was insecure, that she was going to be replaced and that she was obsolete. You see, And she was upset. And it was evident. To the point even where she just didn't want anybody else doing it anymore. You know. Now, I wasn't planning to say this nonetheless, but listen. Older folks in here, nobody's looking to replace you. We need you. We need you. We need your help. The older, now, maybe in that church is a little bit different. Maybe here you're saying, well, we need some people to step up. I understand that. But at the same time with that, there can come that insecurity. See? And there's trouble. The human heart is intricate. It's complex. It really is. You know? I think of the word psychology. Psychology. Psycho has to do with the soul. Ology means word. Psychology is a word for the soul. Now, folks, there's this book is the words for the soul.
Amen.
See.
Amen.
That it's the Holy Bible. And that's where we're going to get satisfied. That's where we're going to draw our strength from. You know. And we must analyze our hearts before the Lord as we and be honest with ourselves as to why we act or react the way we do. There's not a one of us in the room this morning that doesn't have an insecurity about something. Not one. Certainly including me or anybody else. I can worry about stuff, something fierce. Why? Because we're people. And we need to be controlled by God's Spirit and not ourselves. Here, Herod was making trouble for people for political advantage and popularity, purely selfish ambitions. And so, number one, we see the people here. But number two, I want you to see the circumstances. Look here at verses 4 and 6. It says, "And when he had apprehended him," here he apprehended Peter, okay? "He put him in prison, he delivered him to the 16 soldiers there to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." And verse 6 says this, "And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison." Here he is. He's got 16 men that are guarding him. These are Roman soldiers. You don't mess with Roman soldiers. They were trained fighting machines. All right? Peter doesn't have a good chance of getting away, even if there's no walls around him, folks. He was chained to two of them, one on each side. And then two of them stood watch. There was four watches in the night. These men were fresh. All this so this preacher doesn't get away. Isn't it amazing? Through history, how there's all these big criminals and guys that are so powerful in their with their followings and all these things, and there's so much effort goes into trying to silence a preacher. You know, isn't it funny? They want to silence his words. And the apostle James had already been executed. Peter was next up to be brought before the Jews. The situation was hopeless, right? You know how it goes. Nothing's impossible with God.
Amen.
Nothing. Not even your family situation today. Not even your struggle that you have that you think nothing can ever be done about that thing. Wrong. Because the mighty God of all the earth works through circumstances. He works through impossible situations. I think a friend of mine that has been in Cambodia for the past year or so, smuggling Bibles across the border into Vietnam. And one day he was off work. He wasn't smuggling the Bibles for that day for whatever reason. And two or three other men decided to do some sightseeing with him. And they hopped on these motorcycles, in Cambodia. And they're riding across the countryside. And they heard about this old dried up riverbed that supposedly when the river was running, it was a 150-foot waterfall. Now, the way this thing was, this dried up riverbed would come down and it would go 8 feet, got me? 3 feet, 150 feet. That's what it was. Womp, womp, boom, right down. Okay? So anyway, they decide to go sightseeing on this thing. And, of course, my friend, he decides he's going to, he'd been there before, and he was showing these guys the ropes, you know. So he runs out on this ledge. It's only 3 feet because you got 8 feet up above you, the water would come over. Then you got 3 feet you can walk on, a little walking path, and then it's 150 feet down, right? Now listen, 150 feet, a tall tree in this neck of the woods is 100, it's 90 feet. 90 feet's a tall tree, but 100 feet's a really tall tree. This is 150, guys, way down there in those rocks. And so anyway, he runs out there and he goes, come on, guys, and he's heading out there. And the guys are still on the bank with their bikes. With their motorcycles, and all of a sudden they hear something, and they look up river. Folks, here comes a wall of water. I mean to tell you, an entire wall of water. It turns out that this was one of the channels here that the hydroelectricity power plants were using in the area, all right, over there. And by the way, the company that owned it wasn't in Cambodia. The head people, the head office was in China, all right? I guess the Chinese own a lot, I guess, right? So, anyway, this thing is coming, and they're yelling for him, get out, get out. And he's wondering what's going on. Finally, he heard it. He could just look up over the rocks, saw a wall of water coming. It was too late. He ducked down. He got wedged himself in between two rocks. That water began to come out over. And here's the thing about that waterfall that you wouldn't know unless you were in it. It didn't just come out over the rocks. On that waterfall, the water went in between the rocks, and the current was even at the back of his legs. Here he is on this little ledge, 8 foot above him is where the water's tip coming right over. He's got 3 feet where he's at. He wedges himself in there and holds on for dear life, and I mean for 3 hours. Three and a half hours in that cold water holding on. He said, and he had to make a move to get over to this one little cleft of the rock, so to speak, that he got in, and there he was. Holding on, wedged himself in there. He said, Ben, I have never prayed and cried out to God in my life like I did that day. He says, I'm telling you, I thought I was done. They went and got help. They got the locals would come, and they knew about the waterfall, and here this thing is just shooting down over. And he said that right at his head is where the waterfall came down over, and he couldn't get back any further, so it kept smacking him in the head the whole time. The locals come, and they look in there, and because the guys went and got help, and the locals looked at that, and they said, he's not in there, guys. We know that waterfall. He's not in. So they began a search party downstream for him. All right. Well, they got a call to China. Okay, and they ended up they had to call China to get permission to shut the dam down. They shut the thing down, finally shut it down, finally began to creep. Okay, after 3.5 hours, the man finally realizes he can get out. He walks up on the bank. It's dark by this time, okay? And he walks up on the bank, and he just lays down. He said he's never been so exhausted in his entire life. Now, he came out of that thing. The locals came. Okay? Understand, you're in Cambodia. A lot of people serve many gods. All right?
Yeah.
They began to bow down to him because he was in that thing. He began to have open doors to give the gospel, and he had to say, no, no, no. I'm not a god. My God gave me the strength to do this and was able to give open doors to give the gospel to others. I want to tell you, God uses trials in our lives so that there's open doors to give the gospel to others. You are being watched. And I want to tell you, that man was being watched after that, no doubt. Circumstances. And boy, we can get ourselves in some... And listen, the guy will tell you today, that was really foolish. It was really foolish what I did. A lot of times our foolishness, we get into bad circumstances. There's no doubt. Psalm 65:2 says, O thou that hearest prayer. Oh, he hears prayer. He hears it. He hears when you call out to him. You think he doesn't? Nope, wrong. He does. How's this going to work? You don't understand the things I'm facing. You don't understand what's going on. No, humanly, many people don't understand. But God does understand. He knows. He cares. What circumstance are you in today? You think God can't handle it? He can. Absolutely can. Look at verse 5 with me. It says, Peter therefore is kept in prison. I love this but in the Bible. But prayer was made without ceasing. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. Peter is about to be executed. He's sleeping. Folks, the man's sleeping. He wasn't worried about it. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. You see, I believe Peter was resigning himself to whatever God wanted. The Apostle Peter had been through so much by this time, with leading up from the time with the cross and the denial of Jesus to the fact of the birth of the church where he preached and 3,000 got saved. Peter has seen the persecution, he's seen the fear, and he's just like, man, I'm just sick of being afraid. I'm just going to trust him. I'm resigned to whatever you want, God. When you're resigned to what God wants, Christian, you can sleep at night through those circumstances.
Amen.
Whatever you want, God. I don't understand it. There the man is, about ready to be executed the next day. Forget it. I'm taking a nap. I want to tell you there's peace in knowing Christ. I want to tell you there's peace in having a right relationship with him. I want to tell you there's peace this morning with a clear conscience that nothing else matters except your God. I heard one man say, and you'll hear it again probably this week, but I want to say this. I heard one man say, you know, the problem with the Christians is that they love life more than they love God. Because when you love Jesus Christ and you love God more than you love life, it doesn't matter what else is going on. Because the main thing and where your joy and your happiness and your strength come from is from your relationship with him, not this what's going on around you. Sir, you ought to love God way more than your wife. Ma'am, you ought to love God way more than your husband. Prayer. Prayer is that connection. Prayer moves God to do things in behalf of man and to accomplish the purposes of God and God's glory. Isaiah 32:17 says, "In the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance." How do you like that? Quietness and assurance forever. That's a relationship with the living God. A work of righteousness is simply trusting and clinging to the Savior and resigning yourself. I'm just going to, whatever you want, God, I'm going to lay down in your everlasting arms and let you handle this thing. Oh, yeah, we're going to have responsibilities in our different facets of life. No doubt about that. We do them and let God have the rest of it. Christianity is not a crutch. It's a reality. It's a reality of God working in and through you. Because he has purpose. Every one of us in this room has a purpose this morning. You wouldn't be here. He'd see to that. Why this? Why am I dealing with this? Why? What's going on? Because there's a giant potter that's working his life-giving forces on a giant wheel. That he is there just, he's moving that wheel, and that wheel's going around, he's shaping and he's molding. It's called the wheel of circumstance. Yeah. And it's done with love. And the potter has nail-scarred hands. Do you understand that this morning? Hands of love. Hands of sacrifice. And yet he's to be feared. I can't wrap my mind around this glorious God we have. But he's glorious. God desires men to work through your circumstances. Ladies, he desires to work through that impossible family situation that you don't see an end to. Dad and mom, God has more of a broken heart over that wayward child than you do. He cares. Rest in him. Rest in him. What's been your heart attitude through life and the hard times you've been dealing with? You know how it is. You put that tea bag in the water and all that tea comes out, and that hot water is an illustration of our circumstances. When you're put in those hard circumstances, what comes out of you? Is it Jesus Christ or is it you? Many times it's me. Wrong stuff coming out of this guy a lot of times. How about you this morning? Wrong stuff coming out?
Amen.
No, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. It's kindness of attitude. It's brokenness. It's humility. That's the God one's coming out of me today. You see, because when that comes out, that's nothing short of the power of the living God in your life, friend. That's the fruit that he produces. That's what he's after. He wants that for us, but he wants it for this lost world. He wants it for himself, for his glory. It's not something God does to you. It's something God does for you. He loves you. Are you surrendered to what God is purposing for that situation in your life this morning? Or is your attitude harsh about it? How you treat the people around you? Are you willing to totally be submitted to him, to his word, to his ways in the situation, to be used as his instrument in his circumstances? And may I say, daily time in this book will give you the direction you need to go. It'll even give you the way you should feel about this person or that person. Yes, it will. He cares. Are you willing to be used as his instrument? Or are you just wanting your way? When we just want our way, our attitude is all over our face. I just want my way. Psalm 39:5 says, "Verily, every man at his best state," that's his best state, "is altogether vanity." Guys, we're made for his purpose. That's what we're made for. People will fail you. You won't always understand their actions or their motives. What's this all about? Are people funny? I am one. Isn't that funny? I can say that. Yeah, people are funny. I am one. Isn't it amazed what the way people look at different circumstances and things? One guy will look at it from this perspective. One guy will look at this perspective. And you're standing there going, You're totally amazed. Right? I'm amazed about it. I was in a grocery store down there at Burkholder's. I go in there, you know, and I walk in the door. And with all these shootings and everything that's going on, you just don't know what to think about people. All right? And everything that the world is absolutely crumbling at the foundation here. Okay, so you walk in there. And there's this guy. He's standing there by the potato chip rack. I'm thinking, huh? That's peculiar. There he is. All of a sudden, he jumps up and goes, wham, 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 wham. He starts putting his hand in between each one of these potato chips. And I'm like, look out, you know? What's going on with this guy? And so I watched this guy, and as soon as he did it, I saw the store manager, old Russ. He walked over there, and he puts his hand on his shoulder, and he takes him back to the back room. And I thought, man, or he takes him to the back. I don't know where he took him to. The back room's what I'm thinking. This guy, something wrong with this guy here, right? There's something deal going on I don't know about. And I walk over to the cashier, and I say, I just couldn't hardly stand it, you know. I say, hey, the guy just attacked the potato chip rack. I said, who is that guy? She says, oh, she says, that's just a vendor. He's just counting the potato chips. I said, oh. No, well, what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. You don't always know why people do what they do. You don't know why they think what they think. Right? But I had one perception and that wasn't right. How often does that happen in serious situations? You don't know the hearts of people. You don't know why they do what they do. Just do what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And love that guy.
Let somebody else count the
tape. Yeah, I don't think I'd hire him to do it. I'd say, hey, we'll have somebody do that for you. I had one of my employees do it. You do this here and tell the guy what the count is when he comes in. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the point. People will fail you, but God will never fail. Peter, here's an impossible situation. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. How important is it for us as a church to pray? Is it really important? Guys, it's got to be, because it got prison Peter out of jail. Guys, it has to be because the fetters fell right off of him. It has to be because miraculous things happen when people pray. Closing here, Jennifer and I, when we first got married, we had a relative on her side of the family that we just couldn't seem to get along with real well. You ever hear you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your relatives? Did you ever hear that? Yeah. What's true? Right. So, anyway, he was always trying to bring something up about science revolution. Now, understand, Jennifer and I got married. We were in Bible college, and our heads were just getting full of that, and we still just love that theology and that, you know, what God's word says, how it applies to the world and what's going on. And we just, you know, it's just fun, all right? But anyway, we were there in Bible college, and he was always talking about trying to bring up something about evolution, always telling me about millions and millions of years. Folks, there ain't no millions and millions of years in this book. All right, the millions and millions of years, or maybe before this, or whatever, but in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This earth's about 6,000 years old, plain and simple. Okay. Now, anyway, he was always trying to tell us that the Bible wasn't true. He was always throwing little comments about drinking, or telling me about a dirty joke, you know. And I didn't know how to act about the dirty joke. Okay, I didn't want to hear about the dirty joke. Look, God saved me from dirty jokes. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? And if I like it, it's because I'm a little backslidden. Yeah. Or maybe a lot backslidden. I don't care, whatever you want to say. But always prodding us. And one night, the conversation led to about this man, about salvation, about heaven and hell, and he said, oh, I don't have any sin. Well, oh, hey, come on. You guys know lots of Baptist preachers around. Are you going to convince a Baptist preacher that nobody has sin? No. No. Are you going to convince a Baptist that? No. Why? For all have sinned. And so he tells us about this, and we got into this back and forth, and I'm sure at one point my spirit wasn't right. I say I'm sure about that. Yeah, I am. I really am. And whatever. And he said to his wife, he says, if they ever do that to me again, well, I mean to tell you, it was bad. And every time we go to visit, it was a very stressful situation. All right? So we began to pray about every visit. We began to pray specifically about every visit. We began to see a change in his attitude toward us. Oh, by the way, we began to see a change in our attitude toward him. And I think the prayer that God dealt with us most on was our attitude toward him had softened so much that it brought this with him. We need to be clay. We don't want to be. We don't want to be clay. We think we have it right. Not one of us to have it right. You start praying about something, God changes your heart in it. Prayer changes things. Long story short, after 13 years of marriage now, this relative always asked if we can have a devotion time together with the kids. Blows my mind. Hey, are we going to have why don't we have a little church service today? What? Are you kidding me? Where'd that come from? Right? Let's sing some hymns. Bring it up on his cell phone. Here's a hymn I was listening to the other day. Are you kidding me? Boy, I like this old one here, he'd say. From totally against that to that. What happened? Why this change? Because prayer was made and God intervened. And it wasn't because, oh, we prayed and that just makes us great. No, you don't understand. Yeah, no, no. Do you know what it was? It's that God intervened and made God great. It's the fact that we needed some changing, didn't we, pretty? With Him. And God brought that thing. He professes to be saved today. Is or not is, I don't know. Something's changed. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. You can't get much more open than that. I want to tell you, God will do that. That's his stamp. That's what He does. He gets the glory. We all need Him. We need Him in these circumstances we're dealing with. Between you and God this morning, how close are you walking with Him? How much time do you personally spend with Him? Problem is, we love life more than we love Him. And I want to tell you what. If we'll hate life and love Him, we'll love life. Well, that sounded funny, didn't it? That's God's economy, man. You say, yeah, but I won't get this done. I won't get that done. Yeah, I know all about it. I know what you're thinking. I think the same thing. Never works out for me, though. Guys, it doesn't work out for me until I go get along with God for an hour. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't. I make that time. Because oftentimes I don't. I'm stressed out. I'm a wreck. Not even fit to be around, am I? Ah, but you're different, right? Think it through, though. Spend time in the Psalms meditating on what He is. Spend time in the book of Job. Spend time in 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 Kings and Chronicles and get to know this God of the Bible and how He works with people. He's so tender to Elijah. He was so tender to David and yet so firm with David when David did wrong. Listen, He's a loving father and a parent that just says, come here, son, I love you and I want to help you. But don't cross me. I'm to be feared. But yet He's full of tender mercy. Go figure that. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How searchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him? And it shall be recompensed back unto them. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. That's the God we serve. People are going to fail us. Circumstances are hard. But prayer makes a difference. Are you walking with Him this morning? Let's bow for prayer. Father, I want to thank You so much. Just the reality of Your word and of Your life. Now, God, would You just work in each one of my brothers and sisters' hearts and this preacher's heart? Because we'll just acknowledge together right now we need You so bad. It is absolutely ridiculous how bad we need You. You're the one that just fits us like a glove. You made us for Your glory. You made us to be that vessel, Your instrument, Your beloved. And God, I pray that You'd work through our hearts and our circumstances and You'd draw us so close to You that we'd love You more than we love life. And I'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.